call with the radio blasting and the bird dog call. There's a speed trap up ahead of Salmon Town, but no local yokel's gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta get me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay, I'll find a way. It ain't gonna take me down the way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's gonna wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
It can't take me, I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associated them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
It can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
It can't take me.
Are you going to agree? Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty. Slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free. It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are, and welcome to the shooting bench. It is Wednesday, and it's the 22nd of February, George Washington's birthday. And let me check and see, make sure our sound is on here, make sure we've got everything. Radio Doc just joined us. And let me double check, make sure everything's running good. Okay, it looks like, so we ought to be seeing a show of hands here pretty quick of sound in the chat room, so. Let's double check here before I waste a lot of time and energy. Minnie Minpin says hello, so I reckon she can hear us. If she can, everybody can. All right, and hello, Minnie Minpin, and Radio Doc, and Yakima Glock, and chat room's a little short tonight. Charlie Brown, not sure if he's still in there or not. Just got an anonymous just signed in there. And Northwest Heavy just came in. All right, they're filtering in a little bit at a time, so. All right. Excuse me. Hang on just one second. I like this new deal here. Hang on. Yeah, it's quick and easy. When I need to clear my throat, it's pretty painless. The other one was a little bit noisy, but this one's better. All right. Let's see here. Got a lot. We don't have any immediate classes coming up, although we have one tentatively scheduled in Kingman for either the third weekend of March or the first weekend of April. We've got one tentatively scheduled in Tucson coming up here probably just within the next couple of weeks. I will talk to that guy tomorrow, and once we get it on the schedule, then I'll share it with you guys and let everybody know. So, a lot of stuff going on in the news. It just keeps getting better and better. But I think what we'll do, we're going to start out here with some other stuff first. I found a little story that I thought was kind of interesting here. And a lot of you may already know these. I knew some of them, but not all of them. And this is some famous people that you may not have known or wouldn't even believe were World War II veterans. And I thought this was interesting. There's a couple of them in here that are old news, but Mel Brooks. I would have never thought, everybody knows Mel Brooks, right? Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, saw Spaceballs. He was in a lot of stuff. And he was pretty handy at defusing German landmines. He went just before he turned 17, served in the 1104th Engineer Combat Battalion. I think that's probably supposed to be Combat Engineer Battalion, but maybe they said it different in those days. And he was part of an elite unit that took sniper fire, constant shelling, always trying to get them. They helped build bridges, open block roads, deactivate landmines before the Allied forces came in and had to deal with them themselves. So I thought that was kind of neat. And there's another one here. Let me find. Here we go. Stand by just a minute. Okay. Lenny Bruce. Now, if there was ever a guy that was not supposed to be a World War II veteran, that would be Lenny Bruce. Couldn't believe it. Another comedian and more of a stand-up guy. But before he got into comedy, he was a turret gunner on a Navy ship, spent most of his time in the Mediterranean. He was 16 years old, looking for a purpose in life, and he signed up with the United States Army just as World War II began to break out. Spent a lot of time as a shell passer during his time. That was a very romantic job, the shell passer. You know, they hand them from one to the other and then stick them in the gun. That was pretty exciting. But anyway, he said he was an honorable soldier, but the sea life got tiresome for him. So in 1945, he lied to gain an early discharge, and suggesting to get his discharge, his lie was about his homosexual tendencies, which was false because he's not homosexual. But you know, back then, that was the key there. But it wasn't, what do they call that these days? Don't ask, don't tell. Back in those days, you were just gone. So anyway, he lied to get out. And once he got back to the States, he got into some comedy stuff. So would have never thought that. Alec Guinness. You might have seen Sir Alec Guinness. You know him, right? He was the dude in Star Wars. What they call it, Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. But before he took off, he was a pilot involved in landing infantry craft in the Mediterranean. And unlike the last two we just talked about, Alec Guinness was already a trained thespian. He made the decision to take a hiatus from the theater and join the Royal Navy in 1939. And the hero soon made out of him. He managed to land nearly 200 British soldiers on a Sicilian beach during the Italy invasion, while also moving on to ferry weapons to partisan fighters in Yugoslavia. Now, if that wouldn't make a movie, I don't know what would. And you got to think that some of these movies they've come up with probably came from just exactly from stories like this. Said he even put his life on the line when he was caught in a violent hurricane, only slightly guiding the ship into a harbor before he was thrown against the rock, or it was thrown against the rocky shore, damaged beyond repair. Thankfully, he survived the ordeal, went on to portray more military roles on the big screen, like Bridge Over River Kwai. That was a good show. If you haven't seen the Bridge Over River Kwai, that was an excellent movie. And another one called The Tunes of Glory. I highly recommend you watch Bridge Over River Kwai. Yogi Berra could knock me over with a feather. He was the New York Yankees catcher that made most famous through playing 14 World Series matches and acting as a big league manager. Also inspired the name for the famous picnic-stealing animated bear. Remember Yogi Bear? I had no idea they were related until right now. I always thought it was quite a coincidence, but I didn't know that the cartoon character got his name from Yogi Berra. But before he got into Hollywood, he had a military life. He was a veteran of the D-Day invasion. And that was, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have been there and done that to start with, but to survive that and think of the, man, if there was ever a time when there was horrors to remember, nightmare material, D-Day would have been a great one for that. But said he and his fellow sailors had control of a small Navy support craft shooting rockets at German defenses on Omaha Beach. Quite a bit more, so he was grazed by a German bullet during the Marseille invasion. Wouldn't accept the Purple Heart for his duties, hoping to keep his mother from worrying about him stateside. And then you have John Kerry. And John Kerry got a Purple Heart for what? Splinter? I think they finally determined one of the guys that was on his boat decided he got splinters in his hand or something from a bullet hitting the deck railing or something like that. I don't remember what it was. And this guy was hit by a bullet and wouldn't accept it because he didn't want his mother to worry about him. Believe it or not, Yogi Berra wasn't the only future ball player in the war. He was among many others like Ted Williams, Bob Feller, Joe DiMaggio, Stan Musial, Jackie Robinson. I had no idea all of these guys were World War II veterans. I had no clue. And that says a lot for our I wouldn't call them forefathers, but anyway, our earlier generations here. Marcel Marceau had a passion for miming and fun, artistic endeavor that later led to a popularity and famed career. Before he spoke in nothing but body language, Marceau served as a member of the French Resistance. Now, there's an honorable thing. If France ever did anything exciting, that French Resistance was a good bunch of folks. He and his brother went about forging documents to save the lives of French children and otherwise who would have been susceptible to life in the German labor camps. Even more heroically, he smuggled upwards of 70 Jewish children, posing as a Boy Scout leader and guiding them through the untamed woods to safe haven of Switzerland. There's some good stories come out of World War II, no doubt about it. Medgar Evers, not only did I didn't know he was a World War II veteran, I never even heard of him. So that doesn't do much for me. But he was a famed civil rights activist. His main work, hang on a minute, his main work involved desegregating colleges in Mississippi, a noble feat that he's now remembered for. Sadly, his efforts led to his assassination in 1963 as turbulent times surrounded the fight for racial equality was raging. However, before all this started, he was a soldier in the United States Army, enlisting in 1943. He served as part of the 325th Port Company in Europe, a segregated unit of black soldiers. Evers not only delivered crucial supplies during the Normandy invasion, but he took action on the front lines with a supply convoy that hauled fuel and other provisions to General Patton's tank units throughout France. Josephine Baker. How come I've never heard of Josephine Baker? Anyway, she was a stage performer and a government spy. Says she wasn't only famous for her talents in the spotlight. She had a sultry air about her, making her a famed stage performer in the 1920s who surprised everyone with risque dance numbers in revealing outfits. However, she was born American, who later became a French citizen in 1937, decided to serve during World War II as an agent in the French Resistance. Widely known for her lovely charm and jet-setting style, Baker made a perfect cover for herself, giving her easy access to opportunities to shuttle military intelligence and relay secret messages in her things. Due to her humanitarian work sheltering refugees in her home and her consistent high-risk military service, Baker received the French the Croix de Guerre, I guess, for bravery. It's a, what do they call it, the French Cross or something like that. I think there's one more here. Oh, yeah. Now, I knew this one, James Stewart, one of my absolute most favorite actors. I love Jimmy Stewart. Anyway, he was, he's been a household name for many, many years, but he was one of the few Hollywood stars to enter the armed Air Forces in 1941. Let's see, stand by here just a second. All right, I'm back. Let's see, he was, well, crap, hang on a minute, there you go. Forced to gain weight to meet the Army's minimum weight requirements, Stewart overcame obstacles to entering the military and became squadron commander in the English 445th Bombardment Group, demonstrating his abilities by serving in 20 combat missions as a B-24 pilot. Stewart was granted the Distinguished Flying Cross and various other medals for successfully leading the way in bombing raids over Germany and France. Stewart returned to his life as an actor after the war, but he ended his service in World War II as a colonel while also staying in the Air Force Reserve. That's, I think that's pretty commendable right there. Stopped an acting career, no telling what kind of money he was making. even for those days. So he stops, joins the war, joins the military, gets out, goes to war, then goes to war, gets out as a colonel, and goes back to his acting career. So you can color me impressed for all of that, for sure. Okay, let's see. What do we got? You know, it's not quite break time yet, so let's move on. Let me go check the chat room here and see what's going on. Kind of abandoned you guys here for a little bit while I was reading all this. Yakima Glock. No, thanks, Amy. Jeez. There she goes again. I just about made it through the whole day. And leave it to my wife. So anyway, thank you, Yakima Glock. I appreciate it. and thank you, Amy. Not. The Mountain Shooter does have a right. Mountain Shooter, I'm surprised that you know that much about me. Knew that I was 29, and hey, that's right. That's exactly right. That's, so it's not too bad, I guess. Did you? Oh, thank you, Minnie. Thank you. All right, let's move on here to bigger and better things besides birthdays, sir. It's got to be that one. I'm going to do a whole show on that one later on. And that right there will warrant another show. So, let's see here. What happened? Sound like Skype just signed out for some reason. Oh, well. All right. I think I may have mentioned this before, but I want to say it again, especially for you Arizona residents. There's a amendment coming up for Arizona Revised, and there comes Skype back. Thank you very much, Skype, for interrupting me. Amendment to Section 26.121 of the Arizona Revised Statutes relating to the militia. And I'm sure I mentioned this, but it says the militia of the state of Arizona consists of all able-bodied and law-abiding citizens. Now, before it just said able-bodied citizens. Now, I've got a little bit of heartburn with this because who's to define what is law-abiding? How law-abiding do you have to be? Does that mean you cannot be in the militia if you jaywalk or if you spit on the sidewalk or something? What is law-abiding? Now, if they limit that to felonies, especially violent felonies, well, I can live with that. But even then, after they have served their term and done whatever it is that they need to do to make it right, then they should have their rights back to do whatever they want to do. It says citizens of this state. It used to say citizens of the state. And it says here, now this is, let's see, who own a firearm and are between the ages of 18 and 45. Okay, this says, it used to say between the ages of 18 and 45, and now it says between 18 and 45 years of age. I don't know what difference that makes. Able-bodied and law-abiding residents of this state between such ages who own a firearm and have declared their intention to become, now see, you shouldn't have to own a firearm to be in the militia. You should. But I really need to get with some people on this and get this changed here. And they've added a whole segment here. B. This is subsection B. The legislature finds that the militia of this state is necessary for the security of this free and sovereign state. The militia members of this state have the right under the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution and Article 2, Section 26 of the Arizona Constitution to keep and bear arms. The right to keep and bear arms may not be infringed or called into question by the federal government or any state or local government. All right, I got that. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I was a little concerned about having to own a firearm to be in the militia. That doesn't make sense to me. So, all right. Well, we're right at break time here. So if you guys will stay with me here for just a minute, we'll be back with this here shortly. All right.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like... It's time for the shooting bench.
Bench.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Forgot which button to push there for a minute. And we're back. Let's check in again on our crystal ball here. You know, there's a several older stories here I'm trying to get rid of. This one, I don't know if these guys were ever caught. Let's see if I can get the story to come up. Here we go. There's two punks here, and I would so desperately like to whoop their ass. I can't even express in words how much I would like to, anyway. These guys have looks like a young pit bull, or a young dog of some kind here. And they're right proud of themselves. They got, I don't know if there's somebody else taking the video or the pictures, or if they just got a laptop sitting out there or whatever. Each one of them is holding a knife, and there's a dog tied up on the ground before them. They have cut both of his ears off, and one of them's holding one, and the other one's holding the other one. And then they made it worse, and I guess thought it was funny by throwing the ears down on the ground in front of the dog, and he's smelling them and wondering, you know, what the hell is going on. And I haven't confirmed it yet. And imagine my surprise when I look down here and see their names. Both of them are Middle Eastern names. Now, I don't know what it is about Middle Easterners that hate dogs. Well, I know that they consider them unclean and all that. I understand that, but I have seen some videos where these guys have done some just absolutely horrendous. I've seen some things that I would have killed a man for. I just couldn't even believe some of the things that's happened, and that's what these kids, they're not very old. They, apparently they've been involved in dog fights and decided to punish one of the dogs for losing a fight. And proceeded to cut his ears off. And just they had a friend record it. And during the video that was uploaded online, but it's just since been deleted, and that's good. And as much as the, well, anyway, this is, these guys live in Isparta, Turkey. And I don't know in that part of the, it says in accordance with Turkey's law, specifically Article 8 of the Law of Protection of Animals, number 5199, which prohibits the removal of dogs' ears, tails, nails, teeth, vocal cords under any circumstances. And so whether or not they know who it is, it's just whether or not there's been any, if there's been any disciplinary measures or anything here. Unbelievable. We'll move on here. Not give them any more fanfare than they need. This was something that I should have mentioned a long time ago, but and most of you have probably already heard this, but I'm going to tell it anyway because I thought it was pretty cool. You know, during the whole time, how many speeches did people listen to Obama doing and say how many times he said I or me, never we, or, you know, the people of America or whatever? When Donald Trump gave his inaugural speech, he said, America, you, and we, 106 times in this speech. He said, I, 3 times. that is a tremendous contrast from what Obama did. I don't think Obama said America, you and we 103 times in 8 years, much less in one speech. I thought that was worth noting here, even though it is a little outdated, but I thought I'd throw it in there anyway. We, by the way, for those of you that have been keeping up, I've mentioned my dry practice kits here several times. We've got yet another one. We've got a military order right now that's pretty good size that I've got to get done and get out of here. But we've got another one that came in this morning. They're wanting a quote on another, twice as many as the last one. And since the SEALs and Rangers and everybody else went to Glocks, the training benefits of the dry practice kit has gotten to be quite a deal here. Kind of look at the, let's see, let me go back up here and look and see what we saw something Doc's got on here, what it says. You need, yeah, many, there's no doubt about it. You need comms in the militia for sure. Now, I don't know that that means that you shouldn't or couldn't require them to pass marksmanship training as well, and I'm all for that. It's just that we can't really make someone. Well, I guess we could as an individual unit. Yeah, we need medics. That still doesn't mean that they don't have people that shoot. Supply, I understand all that, but they should still be able to shoot. Just like the Marine Corps and the militia, you first a rifleman and then whatever comes after that. The problem that I have here, now the individual units, I don't have a problem with them requiring that you have a gun. That's not a problem at all. What bothers me is that the state statute is trying to be amended to say that you couldn't even be in there unless you have a gun, and that is wrong. Let's see. I know Cook's logistics. That's all moot because they still have to learn how to shoot. It's just the state requiring it that ticks me off here. Let's see here. Now, Minnie, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're talking about Arizona statute. Okay, I got you. Yeah, Northwest Heavy, I remember that. There was, although we did have some AMRON people up there that have some good, reliable communications coming in and out of that event that you're talking about there. I know that there were some holes in some of the rest of it. There surely was. But we had constant communication with people while they were there at that thing in at Grants Pass. Okay, let me see if I can get caught up on the chat room here, and then we'll... Mountain Shooter, that ain't going to happen. There's, as far as I know, and that is so dumb to me. I can't believe that the Army in general chose the SIG when, and that's not because I'm pro-Glock, it's because I'm pro-common sense and efficiency. If all of your special ops guys are using Glock 19s, why in the world would you have everybody else use something else? You've got to wind up cross-training, double-training armors. You got an extra supply of parts, parts for another gun that you have to carry, magazines, really. So if you get a... have a little patrol of rank and file soldiers out there, and they run into a couple of Rangers that got their guns but don't have their magazines, because they used them up in a firefight or whatever the case may be. Even as you know, we all had 1911s for years and years and years. We all had Berettas 92s for years and years and years. And now we've got two separate ones. This does not make any sense whatsoever. In Mountain Shooter, I think that pretty well sums it up. When does the Army make sense? Yeah, I couldn't believe that. But it is what it is. And I think that they will see, they will either, at some point down the line, I think it's going to become apparent to them. And I can't believe that there's not, you know, combat savvy people out there that don't already see the potential problems with this. But I think that at some point, whether it's, you know, a year down the road or during the next major conflict or whatever, that somebody's not going to see this and say, oh, boy, did we make, we have screwed this up royally. And I am convinced that they have screwed it up royally. Not at all happy with that deal. Let's see. And see, we've got some longer stories here that we definitely do not have room for. That one we did last night. The let's see, the Army Ranger that was shot going into the wrong house. Got that last night, I mean, or Monday night. Got the one about the coffee shop. Okay. Yeah, we're catching up here. I guess you guys heard this was about a couple of weeks ago. Not even 2 weeks ago. 10 days ago. That Hal Moore died. Did you ever watch the movie with I'll be damned, Mel Gibson? We Were Soldiers. Mel Gibson portrayed Hal Moore in that movie. Hal Moore was 94 in real life and died not too long ago. Most of you probably already heard that, but I'm just, like I said, I'm kind of getting my crystal ball cleaned out here so we can have a little room for other stuff. I'm going to let Amy do that story. I think I gave it. Amy died. Well, never mind. I'll talk to you about it in a minute. There's you know, I think I need to make a regular segment here of dumb crooks. I did that for a long time back in, I think it was when I was on AM radio a long time ago. We did for quite a while, we did a regular segment of dumb crooks. Well, this is a good one here. This guy from Washington State is behind bars right now after he... He had a murder-for-hire plot here where he had accidentally sent the details of his... But he thought he was sending them to a hitman. He's a low-life scum, and I'm glad he's in jail. He ought to be dead. But he had planned to collect $1.5 million life insurance, which he promised to split half and half with the... hitman. He also wanted him to kill his 4-year-old daughter, which he described as a bonus. He told him when the guy where his wife worked, what time she got off, and instructed him to make it look like a robbery gone wrong or make it look like an accident. What he didn't realize was he actually sent all these text messages and all these details not to the hitman, but to his former boss, who promptly called the police, and he was arrested on investigation of 2 counts of criminal solicitation for murder in the first degree, and is being held right now on $1 million bail. So, you know, it's one thing, and it's inexcusable to set this up, you know, for your wife or former wife or anybody else, as far as that goes, but a 4-year-old girl. And calling it a bonus. Hey, I'll give a bonus for you, you know, if you'll knock this kid off, too, and get her out of my life. So I'm hoping that Jeff Lytle, I guess it's Lytle or Little, it's L-Y-T-L-E, 42 years old. I'm hoping that when the details of this come out in prison, that he'll get everything that he so richly deserves there. And I hope to be able to report on that story for you here in the not too distant future. So, what a low life. All right, let's continue. That's right, Yakima. I'll go. That'll learn him. You know, it's pretty. You got to be careful. Anyway, it's real easy to send text messages and stuff to the wrong person if you don't pay attention. I've done it several times. Not that it's anybody that I'd care is going to hurt one way or the other. It doesn't make any difference. It's just kind of, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't meant for you. That was for, you know, supposed to go to Amy or whatever. Not a big deal, but it could be a big deal. It could be very serious if you don't pay attention. Now, here's our this came out 4 days ago. This is our wonderful Transportation Safety Administration here, TSA. I think that's what it is. TSA airport employees. Let me get rid of this right now. Okay, there we go. This was in Puerto Rico. 12 people were arrested just this week, well, last week, for the various parts they played in this cocaine smuggling operation out of the Luis Munoz Marin International Airport in Puerto Rico. They said the defendants, who are either airport employees as well as current and former agents of the TSA, were responsible for smuggling 20 tons of cocaine through the airport from 1998 to 2016. So in 18 years, 20 tons of cocaine. That's some serious spending money right there. They said they have worked in unison to get cocaine laid in suitcases through airport security without detection, while those transporting the drugs were given the all clear by security personnel involving the operation to board designated airplanes. And the part here that it doesn't tick me off, I'm just saying it doesn't surprise me here, that the investigation was launched by the TSA as part of an ongoing effort aimed at uncovering misconduct and security threats by employees. So they found their own people doing all this bad stuff, 20 tons of cocaine over 18 frickin' years, and all of a sudden they decide to do an investigation here, and they've got to name themselves as the ones that launched this, so it would hopefully look a little better for them. It would look terrible, wouldn't it, if they said, well, the FBI has come up on this deal with the TSA or DEA has caught the TSA doing this or whatever, so I see what they did there. And it may be legitimate. It just looks a little fishy to me. 20 tons of cocaine. My goodness. Now, here's some more. Now, these guys weren't smuggling cocaine, but you heard of the Day Without Immigrants deal that went around here just a few days ago? Well, there's a company here in Nashville, Tennessee, fired 18 people for joining this nationwide protest of a Day Without Immigrants. Bradley Coatings Incorporated of Nolensville, Tennessee, told their supervisors on Wednesday that they'd be taking part in this nationwide movement. Then on Thursday, they were told they no longer had jobs. What did you expect? You know, you can ask if you can have the day off to go protest. You don't tell me you're taking the day off and come back and want to go back to work the following day. That is not going to work. And it didn't. Fired all 18 of them. And I thought it was awesome myself. They He said, we are, one of the guys at fire said, we are team leaders directly under the supervisors. They informed us last night that we could not go back to work, and the boss said we were fired. Well, boo-hoo. Former employee asked to remain anonymous, but had this message to his former boss. I would tell him he was unfair after working for him for so many years, giving him our best. They could not understand that it is not, that it was just one day. You don't tell a boss, any boss, I'm taking tomorrow off. Excuse me? You can ask if you can have tomorrow off. You don't show up for work tomorrow. You don't show up for work again. Period. Anyway, that's what happened. They, Tennessee is an employment at will state. Basically means the employer can end your employment at any time without cause or reason whatsoever. Of course, there's some different stipulations as far as civil rights and stuff go, but these guys were within their rights and within their legal boundaries, and okay. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, that's all I can tell you. One of those things. So, Mountain Shooter wants to talk about guns. Mountain Shooter always wants to talk about guns. Speaking of guns, the Hearing Protection Act is moving right along. It's passed. It's got well over 100 sponsors now. The Hearing Protection Act is what's going to possibly take suppressors and silencers off of the, remove them from the National Firearms Act of 1934 and make it where you can just buy them over the counter. That's going to do two things. One, it's going to drop the price down to virtually nothing. And two, it's going to make them impossible to get for probably, you know, a year or so. I don't know, maybe more. I don't have any idea. But anyway, it's, you know, they've got places like even in England, I think Australia, I'm not sure, several places out there where they have very, very strict gun control laws. And you can still buy silencers over the counter like a screwdriver. Anybody can buy a silencer, a suppressor. Because why? Because if you're going to shoot, you might as well not disturb the neighbors. And they're okay with that. They get it. No. Anyway. Hopefully they're, you know, the ATF is not too happy about it. ATF's not just, the ATF shouldn't be. You know, just go away. We'll find a hole and crawl in it and pull it in after them is what they ought to do. Colorado's constitutional carry bill is has been approved by a Senate committee. It's moving right along. And it's, let's see, Colorado Senate State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee approved a bill Thursday that would allow lawful gun owners to conceal and carry handguns without a permit. Senate Bill 116, sponsored by Republicans Tim Neville and Kevin Van Winkle, was approved in a Republican-led committee along party lines with a 3-1 vote. So, anyway, it says if you're legally eligible to possess a firearm, you should be able to carry that weapon concealed for self-defense without begging for the government's permission. Makes perfect sense to me. This will be about the 12th, 13th state, I guess, if all this goes through and everything's signed and everything. There's New Hampshire. We talked about New Hampshire the other day. That has been signed and is now law in New Hampshire. They are a constitutional carry state now. Let's see. I think that there was, oh, here is another concealed carry story. This is Governor Bullock in Montana says that he will veto a bill that would allow anyone who legally owns a gun in Montana to carry a concealed weapon without a permit. So if it comes up in Montana, he's going to veto it. So hopefully they've got, and I think they've got a strong enough proponents up there to override a veto if he were to do that. So, says he'll take a close look at the bill before deciding, But if it's the same concealed weapon bill that he vetoed in 2013 and 2015, he'd have the same problems with it. So the bill is identical to the ones he vetoed before. So they can expect that. Hopefully they know that and are just trying to, and they're going to get enough enough support there that they can override that veto. Let's see, there was another gun-related deal here. This, oh, by the way, Doc, you'll be in. Matter of fact, Doc, Mountain Shooter, Rolex, Radio Doc. I don't know who all else in the chat room right now. All you guys will find this interesting if you don't already know. Come Veterans Day this year, November 11th of 2017. I don't know why they just don't do it now, instead of making us wait till November. But starting in November, honorably discharged veterans, all honorably discharged veterans, not of a certain nothing, just everybody, all of us, will be able to access the online PX, the online stores of the military exchanges. And it's not going to affect the commissary. You know, commissary is not run by AFEs, so this is just a fee store. It does not allow you to go into their actual brick and mortar stores, but it will let you shop at any of them on the PX websites. So that's a very cool thing, and it will be available on Veterans Day. It is. Some people say, "What it's just going to be for one day?" It is not for one day. It starts on Veterans Day. People read this, it says the online benefit will be available on Veterans Day. It doesn't mean that it's available only on Veterans Day. That's when it starts. Mountain Shooter, they will, they've got a thing that you have to go through an online deal and they will determine your eligibility. I don't know if you have to have your 214 or not. I'm not sure how they're going to do that, but they explain it a little bit in here that there are procedures that you'll go through online, and then they will confirm that you are who you are and have done what you say you've done and been where you say you've been, and then they'll give you, I'm sure, a password or something so that you can get into this AFEES deal. So I thought that was pretty cool. That's a good way to show us a little bit of you know, a little bit more respect there, I guess. But I haven't been in the commissary for a long time, Doc. They used to be a hell of a good deal when I was in California, but I don't know what's going on now. It says an honorably discharged veteran will be able to use the benefit. There are no plans to extend it to their dependents, which, you know, so what? So your wife looks over your shoulder and says, "Hey, I want one of those." Okay. So it just means that she can't get on by herself. Unless you give her your password, I guess. So anyway, I thought that was kind of a neat deal. So let's see, we did that one. Now, we've talked many, many times, over the years, long before Survival Circle, long before Just Measures, about cops coming into you know, no-knock warrants. Well, after 2 years in jail here, Ray Rosas, Corpus Christi, Texas, is a free man. After they were found, a jury found him not guilty of shooting three Corpus Christi police officers. You know, I don't condone shooting police officers, but when you know, when it's a self-defense deal, somebody, they said they threw a flashbang in there. He had no idea. He was confused. Somebody kicked the door in, and he just opened up on them. So, anyway, I think that's a good thing. Not that they got shot, but that he has set a precedent here for the stupidness of no-knock warrants. All right. right. Well, speaking of that, we've run over just a little bit, so I think it's time for us to scoot on out of here. We'll see you Friday for Liberty Lounge, and Amy will be on at 7 o'clock Pacific time with her show Living Way Out Here, and then we'll follow up with Liberty Lounge. And what I think I might start doing, I'm not sure yet. I'm kind of thinking about it. I know I'm going to do it at least occasionally. And I'm going to have a theme or a certain genre of music. And I mean, generally, it's going to be country. Like I say, we'll still do a little classic rock once in a while. Amy loves it, so that's good enough for me. But, you know, we'll do a, you know, maybe a Cajun deal one night, country gospel one night, oldie moldy oldies, classic. What we never will do is hard rock, metal type crap, or modern country. What's going on by modern, I mean right now, present day. 90s, late 90s is about the end of my rope when it comes to country music. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here, and I'll see you Friday. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.